Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right. You know, I think there might be some people in the room, you know, a little older than I, that could maybe has memories of a different America. But in my life, I've never seen a more divided America than I see right now. And that's only something that's increasing, it seems, every day. Every day we're hoping that we're one step away from division, and it just seems like it just gets more polarizing as the days go on. And before I go any further, let it be said, there's nobody in this room that wants to talk less about the current events of what's going on in America. I'm over it. I'd like to talk. I told the first service that when this is all done, I'm going to do like 10 weeks of the doxology of Jesus Christ and just like not talk about anything outside of this room whatsoever, just doctrine, and I'm over it. But we also know it's really important right now to speak to current events. What does it mean to be a Spirit-filled believer in this day, in this hour? How do we thrive in this season and be a part of what God is doing? And we got to speak towards that. And as we're watching, you know, an incredibly divided America, there's a part of it that gets me really excited. Because I know that collapse is the doorway to revival and awakening. You don't have to wake up something that's already awake, and you don't have to revive something that's not dead. The worst thing that could happen is a mediocre church, not a dead church. And the worst thing that could happen is a peaceful America that has no need for a salvation. It's probably the worst thing that could happen to America. God will use this hour and this moment to bring revival and awakening to communities and cities all across America. And yet, in all of this, there's got to be somebody that's going to stand in the gap in America that's been unstained by the patterns of the world, that fully submits to leaning into the will of heaven and the plan of God, and is going to usher in a move of the Holy Spirit. Someone's going to have to stand in the gap for America. I don't know about you, I just feel like we're all being invited into the chaos, and we become willing participants of a narrative that is so anti the move of the Holy Spirit, and we're just being found meddling in it. But somebody is going to go into their prayer room, and they're going to tune out and completely like block out the frequencies of the world, tune into what heaven is saying, stand in the gap and usher in the will of heaven into the earth. There's never been a greater hour for us to tune out the world, tune into the Spirit, and protect our secret place with the Lord. We need Spirit-filled believers living in Spirit-filled ways. Everyone wants to fight and argue and demonstrate their rights, but we need someone that will prophesy with power, preach the gospel with an anointing, and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. We need someone to catch an anointing that overrides the climate of the day, and we need some overcomers to rise up in the church. And this morning, I want to focus on a passage of Scripture where I feel like Paul, with a similar vision for Corinth, for Rome, for Greece, I feel like Paul right here is looking to the early church and saying, guys, you have revival is literally like is standing at your door, but I'm looking at you guys and all I see is carnal, worldly people who should be operating in some depth of maturity of the move of the Holy Spirit and who Jesus is, but you're just blending in. And Paul speaks to this, and he actually calls out a trap. And he gives us a well of wisdom here about how to navigate what the assignment of the enemy is to cause the church to withdraw from the Spirit and to start leaning into the patterns of the world. And I want to look at this together because I'm not preaching at you. I'm just pulling from the text something that we need to understand. How many of you guys know, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves right now? So look at this with me. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal and as to babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He says, I cannot refer to you as spiritual people. What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying a spiritual people, that word in the Greek means a people that engage the realm of the Spirit and a people that live from faith and actively operating from the knowledge of Christ and from spiritual understanding. He's saying, I can't talk to you as people that engage the spiritual realm. I can't talk to you as people that are actually engaging the knowledge of Christ and operating and living from that database of information. I can't talk to you that way. You know Christ, but you're not living like you know him. You are a people that have been given access and been granted access to the realm of the Spirit to get his heart and his nature. You're not acting like it. And then he says, but I refer to you as carnal, which that word carnal means people that live from the external. They don't live internal, they live external. These are people who base their desires on human nature. You know, that it's just the very, that thing that we got saved from, still operating from it. And he goes, I'll go as far as to call you babes. Now you're still being fed milk. You're just babies, which just means immature people in something that you were to be growing in. Why is he calling them babies? Because in Hebrews 5:13, it's a little cross-reference for you. He says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. Listen to this. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And he says, you're a babe because you've learned everything I've taught to you, but you haven't actually been putting it into practice. You're not doing anything with it. You're not every day training yourself and like taking this into consideration and going, hey, Jesus forgave me, I should forgive other people. I'm watching a movie. And I'm finding humor in things that Jesus died for. And I'm not going, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Jesus died for that. I find it hysterical. Anybody? Listen, what I'm saying is that he's saying, listen, you have not grown out of your immaturity because you've been teaching all the basic stuff about good and evil, righteousness, what's been made available to you. And you're not putting it into practice. I got to still call you babes because you're still unlearned. You're still immature in this stuff. How is Paul discerning the spiritual maturity? Paul says, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy, everyone say envy, strife, everyone say strife, and divisions, everyone say divisions, among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He says, I am saying what I'm saying about you not being spiritual, about you being carnal and still acting like babes, because I'm looking into your community and I see envy, strife, and division running rampant in your community. Therefore, measure your behavior, and I see what I see is carnal behavior. You're just like mere men, not like the spiritual beings that you were saved and brought into becoming like. I looked up that word envy. I think we're all very aware of what that definition of envy is, but I was very surprised when I looked into the Greek meaning of this word being used, and the Greek word for that is used here is not envy, it's zeal. Zelos, which means zeal. That word is used about zeal for the Lord, but it's also used in zeal for things that cause dissension. And the reason why it is called envy here is because there's no word in the English dictionary that actually truly lines up with the Greek word here. What it means is, envy means zeal, but not a good zeal, but one that produces jealousy and rivalry. It actually means a burning emotion that causes rivalry. He goes, there's envy with you guys. You're getting so fired up about some stuff that you're really opinionated about that's literally become like a molting, a hot emotion inside of you, and it's producing envy, which means that you are actually causing strife and fighting over the thing that you're all fired up about. It's the product of your zeal. You're too zealous about this, and it's actually causing issues. He says it's causing strife, which means quarreling and disputing. And finally, he says, and it's been causing. You're getting so fired up about some stuff that it's causing you to quarrel and dispute, and then it's resulting in division, which means it means that you and I are standing together, and that word division means I find another place to stand. I have chosen to not stand with you, but to stand away from you. And he's looking into the community, he goes, you guys are getting fired up about some not important stuff. You're quarreling and disputing, and now you're choosing to stand apart instead of together. I saw you go into Hannaford and see Janet down the hall, and I saw you dodge her to the next aisle. That's what it means. I'd like to walk with you is unity. I will walk away from you is division. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In essence, what Paul is saying is you guys are looking and acting a lot like the world, totally disengaged from the Spirit and not exemplifying any sort of life in Christ because you're all fired up about some dumb non-eternal stuff and you're fighting over it and you're breaking relational connection over things that don't matter in eternity. And he has produced this idea about the Corinthians because what he's watching them and seeing them do. And he goes, you guys are not spiritual. You're like the rest of the dang world. It's heavy, right? Relevant, anybody? All right. I'm not preaching at you. This is a warning that we can pull from Scripture about where we are right now and what the plan of the enemy is. I want you to understand, though, that the problem is not the envy. Paul is not done. He goes, you are carnal, you're disengaged from the Spirit, you are causing envy and strife and quarreling, and you've divided, and I can actually call you immature in the Lord because I'm watching what you do, and how do I know all this, and how do I know what's going on? Because I'm watching you guys go, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos. And he goes, this behavior is a reflection of a tribalism mentality that you have been indoctrinated with and invited into your church community. Paul identifies tribalism as a cause of dissension. Paul is measuring their spiritual maturity by a behavior that has been shaped by a tribal mentality. What is a tribal mentality? It's a mentality is to surround yourself with your tribe, with people that agree with you, a people that you all fighting for the same thing, that you are all together in total agreement, and you've created a war of tribes by separating yourself from people that you disagree with and you don't align with and that you're not passionate about with. These are how we create a tribal mentality. It uses intimidation and temptation to get you to align to a tribe so that you would fully align, or you will be excommunicated as a different tribe if you disagree. This is not just Christian language that I'm using. This is psychology language is what I'm using. This is a known factor of psychology that is waging war on America right now, is a tribal mentality, and it's the very mentality that Paul identifies as this is what's going on and causing this downward spiral where now I don't even know how to separate you from the world. You guys hearing the warning from Paul here? A tribal mentality produces immature behavior that causes believers to progressively withdraw from spiritual activity. In reality is it causes believers to look a lot less like believers because their patterns of behavior have been patterned after worldly concepts. And if believers are going to re-engage the spiritual realm to produce supernatural fruit for their life, they're going to have to disengage a tribal spirit. This is what Paul says. He goes, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Verse 5, they're just ministers through whom we believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, and he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and we are God's field, and you are God's building. He goes, hey, you're talking about Paul and Apollos. I'd like to bring another person to the table here. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy Spirit. Have you met him? And he goes, you don't have to say I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. They're just laborers in God's field. There's another one I want to invite you to align with. His name is Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you, and he has a word to say about the day and hour in which we're living in. He goes, I don't want you to align to Paul and Apollos. That's eating crumbs off the floor. There is a king of all kings, a lord of all lords, who sits enthroned over all the nations and laughs as they quarrel. He's higher above every other name, and there's coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And I'm telling you, be found on his side in a day of quarreling. This landed okay in the first service, so I told them that I would say it in the second service. And that's this. If you are currently feeling homeless when it comes to your political affiliation, that probably is a good sign that you are on heaven's side. I think this is a good day for Christians to feel politically homeless. Because Christians are acknowledging that no political party could ever represent heaven. And when I go into a conversation, I'm finding out that every man on the face of the planet poorly represents the king of all kings. They are not on the same level of understanding, and they do not operate from the heart of the Father or represent him whatsoever. And so I stand and I go, hey, I'm going to engage the politics of the land in which I live, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to try to follow the Holy Spirit in all this, but I'm telling you what, I am not of Paul or of Apollos. I'm with Holy Spirit, and I'm just trying to follow him right now. I'm telling you, we are literally walking into a trap if we allow ourselves to fall into a tribal mentality, because we will disengage the spirit and we will match the world with the world. I don't know. The world wants us to align with an idea. The world wants us to align with a thought. The world wants us to align with a person. The world will use intimidation and to get you to align. But there is only one side we can choose, and that's the side of heaven. There is only one we can align with, and that's Jesus. There is only one we can listen to, and that's the Holy Spirit. I refuse to say that if right now I believe that there is injustice against the black community in impoverished cities, I refuse to identify as a Marxist BLM individual. If I believe for the ending of abortion in America, I refuse to identify with a political party that's the only ones fighting for it. If I believe that justice is needed at the immigration borders of America, I refuse to say that that's because I am of a certain political party. I am with Jesus. And I carry a heart of compassion for all humanity. And I will not let my political affiliations to cause me to detach from spiritual truth. Because in order to be a part of this tribe, I have to adopt that tribe's way of thinking. I'm not with your tribe. I'm with Jesus. Are you hearing me? This is a warning from Paul. You're not spiritual, you're carnal. Look at you guys have fallen into the tribal trap. And I'm telling you, I started this off with saying this. I started off, and I know that I am throwing stones at some golden calves. Listen, I know that. But what my thing is this, is that I said that what we need in this hour are spirit-filled believers doing spirit-filled things. What we need is for a people that disengage the frequencies of the carnal concepts of the world and engage the presence of the Holy Spirit and get a word from heaven in the secret place. And if we're going to do that, we have to disengage a tribal spirit and get into his presence and listen. I will not fall into the world's narrative of me. The question that we need to ask ourselves, are we on his side or are we hoping he is on ours? Are we on his side or are we really hoping that he's on ours? Are we gambling that he's on our side? I want to know who is talking and who is listening. Am I talking and hoping he's listening, or is he talking and I'm listening? I know that we're a room full of prayer warriors. I think the hour that everyone is clamoring the frequencies and the airwaves of our culture, everyone's talking over each other. What we need right now is people to shut up, shut the door, and listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm concerned that some of our prayers are asking God to endorse us, not asking, how can I get on your page and partner with you right now? What are you doing? Because it feels like I don't see you. I don't know what you're doing with this whole political thing. I don't know what you're doing on the streets of America right now. I don't know what you're doing with law enforcement in the black community. I don't know what you're doing with the whites and blacks and all the things that is, and the COVID-19 and all this different stuff. I want to know, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? I need your heart. I need your voice. I need to hear you right now. I don't want to ask you to endorse me. I'm asking, how do I align with you? Do you guys remember the story? You guys okay? Are we still friends? All right. Do you guys remember the story of Elijah? Elijah, the drought, prophesied there's going to be a drought. There goes the drought, you know. He's getting fed by ravens and stuff. The dude then shows up and he calls for a showdown on Mount Carmel. And on the showdown on Mount Carmel, Elijah calls down fire from heaven. One of my favorite parts, he then slaughters all the priests of Baal, right? Like Quentin Tarantino stuff in this chapter. Just plows over Mount Carmel, right? And so they're at war with them. And then he looks up to heaven and he prays and he calls in a cloud of the size of a man's hand. What a man of faith to see a cloud the size of a man's hand and declare the end of a drought, and it begins to rain. Dude takes his cloak, ties it into his belt, runs faster than chariots of horses. It's a good day in Elijah's world, right? This guy runs faster, gets to the town, all this stuff. A messenger comes with a letter from Jezebel. Hey, Elijah, just want to give you a heads up. I'm going to kill you before the day's over. Elijah has some options on the table. He can call down fire from heaven. Right? He is well equipped for this moment. Okay, they come. Guy runs real fast. He can get away. Third option, cower and hide in a cave. And Bible trivia, does anybody remember what Elijah does? See? All of the above. No, see? He runs and hides in a cave. What the heck? Why is Elijah, he's had a good day. One empty smoke and mirror threat causes Elijah to hide in a cave. But do you remember the pattern of thought that begins to like wreck his life? Do you remember the pattern of shame, the pattern of like victimhood that begins to get shaped in the narrative in his own life? And he actually, God comes to him still. I mean, like, you guys, I can't even relate with Elijah. I can in a way, but I can't. God visits him like in earthquakes, in lightnings, in shakings, and God's not in this, and God's not in that. God comes in this still small voice. All these things are happening, right? And he's in the cave. And the Lord says, Elijah, why are you here? And Elijah actually has the guts to say, you've left me because of one empty threat from Jezebel. And he goes, you've left me. I'm all alone. No one cares. Right? And there's no one for me. Everyone's against me. God, you're not moving. God goes. God comes back. Elijah, why are you here? I'm all alone. You've left me. And this whole victim thing keeps coming out of Elijah. And sure enough, he asks a third time. Elijah says it three times, and God ignores Elijah. And he goes, Elijah, get up. There are 7,000 Israelites that never bowed to Baal. You know what God said to Elijah in that moment? Elijah, you're blind. You actually thought I wasn't doing anything. Just because you weren't in the room when I was doing it doesn't mean I wasn't doing it. There's 7,000 more going on than you could ever think or imagine. And right now, if we disengage the spirit, we're going to end up in a cave. We're going to be hiding going, God, what are you doing? But he's going to go, are you kidding me? Did you think that I've not been moving? Do you think that there's not 7,000 times more going on in America than you could ever think or imagine? Are you going to listen to everything going on? Are you going to engage my spirit and rely and lean in and trust my voice right now? And this is why as believers, we've got to engage and we need to listen. We need to disengage a tribal spirit and start listening because God has more in store for you. Paul says this, he says in chapter 3, he says, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Then he goes, now he who plants, he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers in God's field, and you are God's building. He says three things. Number one, you are a seed that God's pouring out. He's calling you right now in the season to grow. And only his Holy Spirit can do that. You're supposed to be growing in the season, growing in the Lord. He says, you are also God's laborer in his field. You're called to harvest right now. Everyone sees barrenness. Is there anybody that will get to a higher plane of view and see a field that is white unto harvest? Because right now, if you were being led by the Holy Spirit, you would realize that there is a great harvest field everywhere your foot stands. There's opportunity right now to share the gospel. And all the media and everything will go about how terrible and dark and gloomy the days are. And you're going to go, what? I just led like 100 people to Jesus this week. Which narrative are we going to listen to? And lastly, you are God's building. You are called to host his presence. And he says now, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. Whew. This is a good word, actually. Because there is grace in this word. There's kindness in this word. Saying, I will continue to help you see what you're building with. Because if you walk through something and you feel like you are so shaken to the point where you had no more hope, or ability to lean into me and get a word and carry peace and joy. If you do that and you're not able to do it, I want to let you know that's probably because you've been building with hay and straw, which is the leftover resources of your days and weeks. But I've been calling you to build some gold and silver, the precious stones, stuff you cherish and value with your life, that you would give that fully to Jesus and build your everyday with that. And he goes, and my grace will come and expose every work so that you know what you're building with. Isn't that his kindness? And in this hour, in this day that we're living in, we need to approach this season saying, God, test my heart. We need some friendly fire. from the Holy Spirit. Test me, God. What am I building with? Help me build with a precious value for your presence, leaning into your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm telling you right now, we are in an incredible hour of the church. We need to tune in to the Holy Spirit right now. Protect the secret place. And we need to fight to disengage a tribal spirit that wants to cause the church to disengage from his presence and to engage the world and blend in.